back. And if you've been watching the news lately, and I mean the real news, such as Rents.com or Alex Jones' PrisonPlanet.com website, you'll know that there is a huge smoking gun laying around, and the smoke is so thick you can hardly walk through it anymore. It's getting to be pretty intense. This is a very big story we're going to explore tonight with you and Alex Jones and Paul Watson as well. So let me give you a little background in case you haven't been online or have missed the story. This relates right to a PBS documentary regarding WTC 7, Building 7. Let me just read a little bit to you and you'll get the story and then we'll bring our guests right on. This is by Jeremy Baker. I'm going to quote from his article. In a stunning and belated development concerning the attacks on September 11th, Larry Silverstein, the controller of the destroyed WTC complex, stated plainly in a PBS documentary that he and the Fire Department of New York decided jointly to demolish the Solomon Brothers building, or WTC 7, late in the afternoon of Tuesday, September 11th, 2001. This admission appeared in a PBS documentary originally aired in September of 2002, entitled America Rebuilds. Mr. Silverstein's comments came after FEMA and the Society of Civil Engineers conducted an extensive and costly investigation into the curious collapse of WTC 7. The study specifically concluded that the building had collapsed as a result of the inferno within, sparked apparently by debris falling from the crumbling North Tower. In that documentary, Silverstein makes the following statement. I'm going to quote now. I remember getting a call from the fire department commander telling me that they were not sure they were going to be able to contain the fire. And I said, we've had such a terrible loss of life, maybe the smartest thing to do is pull it. And, says the author, they made that decision to pull, and we watched the building collapse. We're going to explore this in great detail tonight. First, let me bring on from England Live, where it's 3 in the morning. I'm very happy to have him on the program now. He is Paul Watson, and if you've seen my site at all, you've seen a number of stories that Paul has contributed to all of us. He has an excellent reputation. He is a primary contributor to PrisonPlanet.com. In fact, he is also the webmaster. So Alex Jones has himself a fine fellow to work with, and we're very proud to have Paul Watson on. Hello, Paul.
Hello, Jeff. Great pleasure to be on the air with you tonight.
Thank you, my friend, and how are you feeling? All right?
Yeah, I actually stayed up. I'm basically operating on U.S. time, so I'm a night owl anyway, so it's okay that I stayed up.
Our U.K. guests, we go over there often. Some of them stay up, some of them get up, but I can see your schedule keeps you up, so you're there. And let's go down now and say hello and welcome back to the program one of the truly great and heroic warriors of our time, and I'm not exaggerating when I say that. Many of you know him and listen to his program and certainly visit his website. He is Alex Jones. Welcome back, Alex.
Jeff, I really do appreciate your courage and the frontiers of knowledge that you've opened up to millions of people. And this WTC 7, we already knew they blew it. We've been saying that for over 2 years, 4 months. But now we've caught them red-handed in one of their big, fat Freudian slips. These criminals can't keep their story straight.
It's true. It's amazing. But there are so many holes in this story, thousands of them, and it just... It was just a matter of time, I guess, before things started to fall through those holes, and this appears to be one of the biggest yet, and I don't think we're at the end of the road on this whole thing of disclosure, and it's not voluntary disclosure either. Well, we're watching, folks, all of you people who are hiding this issue. We are watching, and we apparently have a big one now. So, Alex, why don't you go ahead and start spelling it out. We're going to be listening, by the way, folks, tonight to some sound clips of Mr. Silverstein, among others, which will, I think, make the point very clear that this was a command decision, which not only brought a building down, but apparently resulted in the deaths of perhaps several people. We don't know how many people died. And what does that make it? At the very least, manslaughter? I kind of think it does. When you look at the video and the stills of that building on that day, September 11th, you'll see that fire was hardly engulfing it. In point of fact, fire was only visible on two of the floors, and that in a very contained area on each of the floors. Alex, go ahead and set this up for us.
Well, number one, I cannot express the magnitude of the story that we first learned of this Saturday when I was on Rents.com doing my 3 or 4 hours of research a day. I spent about an hour a day on Rents.com, and I saw the article, and I had video clips of this. I had discussed the controlled demolition of WTC-7 in two of my films. I'd shown the video clips. I had known that a plane hadn't hit the building. It's a 47-story structure across the street, the furthest away from Tower 1 and 2. It caught fire later that day, two small fires in the 7th and 12th floors. I remember driving in the car listening to ABC News that day, and they said there's discussions of demolishing it so the fire doesn't spread to other buildings. And I thought, well, that's dumb. I've watched firefighter shows on Discovery Channel and History Channel. I mean, there's no point in demolishing a building to do that. Plus, it's hard to do that. It takes days or weeks to set the explosives up. And then I never heard it again.
Mm-hmm.
And then at about 4:35 Eastern, the building collapses in, 3.2 seconds, faster than a bowling ball can fall 47 stories.
Yeah.
So that can only happen if you are turning lower floors and supports into dust that is shortening the actual height the structure. And we had read the quotes of firefighters saying bombs were going off. We have the seismograph reports on Tower 1 and 2
sure.
and on 7. So, again, there's so much evidence here, and we have Dan Rather. We'll play that clip later, saying looks like controlled demolition, buildings we've seen that had well-placed dynamite in them. Peter Jennings had said the same thing that day. And we have a clip, of course, with Rather saying that. So we already had all this evidence. I mean, I said in Road to Tyranny, a film I made 2 years ago, that they controlled demolitions, WTC-7. But who would have ever thought that we'd have something hiding in plain view, like Mr. Silverstein, going public, the owner and the controller of the center, who bought it months before and got these huge insurance policies on it, and
mm-hmm.
A lot of bizarre behavior there, and we get into that later in the show, to have him go on PBS and to have them on PBS show WTC-7 falling, the police, the firemen, and then to have Silverstein, to cut to Silverstein talking about how they made the decision to pull the building that day. Well, I heard them discussing on ABC News. My listeners in New York, and I know your listeners, you had on the site, talked about how they heard it on the news. There were discussions of pulling it. But then that all disappeared. The FEMA report said, forget about it. We don't know what did it. We think it's the fires. No explosives. Don't discuss it. And the point here is, folks, it takes days or weeks.
Right.
To have a controlled demolition on a big complex building, a modern one, they may spend 3 weeks setting them up now.
That's right. That's right.
And so even if some are saying, well, Silverstein meant they were going to blow it up, but then it fell on its own, and that's delusional to make that leap. You know, it's mental twister to try to come up with that anyway to rationalize and deny here. Even if that happened, how are they going to plant bombs, demolition charges in a building that's on fire? No, he's clearly saying, you know, Jeff Rentz says the sun's coming up tomorrow, and I go, well, I don't know if he said the sun's coming up tomorrow. You know, he clearly says, we're going to play the clip, that they made the decision to pull it, they gave the order, and then watched it collapse. That's as clear as it gets. Only Bill Clinton could say, depends on what the word is means. And Paul Watson, I mean, there's so many facets to this. Paul might want to jump in and add some points.
Right. Paul, come on in here.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, we have to take note of what kind of financial motive that Silverstein himself would have in destroying this building. Now,
mm-hmm.
we know that Larry Silverstein was a leaseholder, the controller of the World Trade Center complex. And although we're focusing on Building 7 alone here, we can see that in February of 2002, as I wrote on the article that's on Rents.com, Silverstein Properties won $861 million from industrial risk insurers to rebuild on the site of WT-7. And Silverstein Properties estimated the investment in WT-7 was $386 million. So the bottom line is that the collapse itself, Building 7, Solomon Building, resulted in a profit of $500 million to Silverstein. And that's just Building 7 alone, as I mentioned.
Incredible. Unbelievable.
Jeez. And I'm sorry for interrupting. I just want to point out for listeners, because when I mentioned this 500 million number, Paul does, I got emails going, well, here's the AP saying 3.6. Here's Reuters saying $6 billion total now in insurance. That's one of the buildings of $500 million profit.
That whole insurance thing was interesting to me. The insurance company was fighting Silverstein, saying we're only going to pay for one of the towers. Or in fact, I think it was that they were going to pay off on the both towers' loss as one event. How did that ever shake out, Paul?
Well, yeah, the final number, the rough estimate that we got was the $6 billion figure that Alex mentioned. And, I mean, even on top of this, and I think, I mean, this has been mentioned on Rents.com before, we had Marvin Bush, George W. Bush's brother, who was on the board of Stratasec, which was formerly known as Securecom. And this company had a contract which handled electronic security at the World Trade Center complex.
Mm-hmm.
And just by pure coincidence, the contract expired on the day of September 11, 2001.
On the very day. Wow. All right, stand by, Paul. We'll be right back. Alex Jones and I and Paul Watson with you this evening. Glad you're along. Much to talk about. Don't go away. This gets more and more interesting all the time. Okay, right back with you, talking with Paul Watson and Alex Jones. Alex, the idea of a high-rise building, a fire in the building causing it to fall down, of course, is ludicrous to most engineers, especially the way they build them nowadays. This building shows no signs in any of the video of being overwhelmed, engulfed, or otherwise seriously compromised by flames. I see flames on two floors, and that's it, and I don't see very many at that. How do you see it?
Well, absolutely, and it's the same for Tower 1 and 2. We have the photos, the people in the crash holes up there in the 70th to 80th floors,
right,
leaning out. The firefighters were up in the towers. They said, there's two small fires. We've got to contain. Send up a bunch of units of brave firefighters to help evacuate these people. But people can argue, folks can argue, government can argue, well, you know, jet fuel did that. Okay, well, WTC-7 wasn't hit by an aircraft, didn't catch fire till hours after Tower 1 and 2 collapsed, and the seismographs picked up explosions there, the New York Geological Survey, the university, and the Federal Geological Survey.
Let me say one thing, Alex. Those explosions, friends, are not the sound of the buildings hitting the ground either. They're different. These are seismic events.
Absolutely. I mean, they've demolished enough buildings to know what a seismic event is. And, again, at PrisonPlanet.com, there's a link there from Rents.com. Every claim we're making, we have FEMA reports, we have the firefighter tapes, and to show the lies involved with claiming that the fires were horrible and out of control, remember the government claimed that all the firefighters' radios had malfunctioned. And people said, wow, those must be really junky radios. Then the firefighters got mad and leaked it to the New York Daily News, the tapes.
Yeah.
The transcripts came out, then the feds had to go, oh, we found the tapes, and they released them. Those are on the site, too, where they talk about the fires being out, and firefighters said that bombs were going off, and that was even in People magazine. So it's asinine, you know, it's like claiming the earth is flat, for them to say that Building 7 had a few small fires in the 7th and 12th floor and then collapsed. And that morning, and we have the ABC News story on this, Giuliani said, oh, I got a call, and I was told to get out of Building 7. Then an hour before Building 7 collapsed in 3.2 seconds, the firefighters were told, back off, we're going to bring the building down. We have mainstream news articles on that. So, Jeff, this is really, out of all the hundreds of smoking guns, as you said, the thousands of holes in this, this is just one of the big ones that's been sitting there right out in plain view. And then you talk about one of the Bush brothers running security there, and then claiming what a hero he was because he was near the site when all this happened and he almost got killed. And then you, on top of that, have the CIA, the FBI, the state, and the city in 99 built this bizarre Orwellian command bunker up in the building. You don't normally build a bunker up in a building.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the building that was running the security for Towers 1 and 2, where they were giving him the orders over the speaker system, stay at your desk, stay at your desk. And then the security guards, according to the Associated Press, were downstairs of Building 1 and 2 saying, everybody, you stay right there. Stay in the building. That's on the record, too. And there were a couple CEOs of Bullhorn saying, don't listen to them. Get out of here.
Right. You got it. This building, when you look at it and you watch it come down, it without even knowing anything about it, you say, that building was brought down. Now, this leads us to the next important part in this discussion, and that is, no way, no how did a bunch of people with explosive charges run into that building and place them. It didn't happen. That brings us to what conclusion, Alex?
Well, Jeff, I'm sure you watch Discovery Channel or History Channel. I'm sure most of your listeners have. It's fascinating. They've had many TV shows that are all showing the controlled demolition of mainly Las Vegas hotels, the big buildings in Detroit, New York, Chicago, Houston, Dallas, you know, L.A., everywhere.
Right.
And about 1 out of 10 times, Paul even looked this up, about 1 out of 10 times, when they spend weeks doing it, the building doesn't fall. And then it's a very dangerous situation. They have to go in and place more explosives in a building that could collapse at any time.
So
absolutely, Silverstein is on PBS saying, well, we'd already lost so much life that day, and you know, the building was on fire. And so I talked to the fire department, and we talked it over, and they made the decision to go ahead and pull it. And so how would you make the decision to pull it? How, the building's on fire, are you going to go in and place the explosives to pull it? Now, again, restating this, we didn't just today decide to come out and say that they demolished Building 7. We've been saying that from day one. Dan Rather, watching it, said it. He said, wow, for the third time today, amazing, these buildings look like controlled demolitions, like well-placed dynamite. We've all seen these. When a building buckles at the sides, implodes on itself, and falls in a neat pile, that's the whole science of these controlled demolitions.
Right.
And so we see this time and time again. And I would add this caveat. And again, we haven't even gone down one level in this rabbit hole, folks. There's so much here, and Paul can go over that. I know you can as well, Jeff. But this is one of the other very, very interesting points in this whole scenario that we've got to look at is the fact that Controlled Demolition is the same company, Controlled Demolition Incorporated, that destroyed the ruins of the Murrow Building and had those parts buried at an armed Wackenhut landfill and mixed in with concrete chunks. And they're the folks that did the controlled demolition of Building 4, 5, and 6 in mid-December.
Yeah.
And then the firefighters went public and said, you're covering this up, firefighter engineering. They said, it's criminal that you're shipping this to communist China and not letting anyone take photos of the scene.
Exactly, exactly. Hold on right there, Alex. Please listen and pay close attention to what Alex Jones just said about who got the job, who did the Murrow Building in Oklahoma City, and ask yourself, how could they bring a building down with no explosives? Aha. Be right back. Okay, welcome back, and Alex Jones has made the point. You have all seen video or film of buildings being imploded over the years, and who didn't watch the collapse of the two towers that day and kind of scratch their head and say, damn, they came down straight. That was amazing. Paul Watson, how about this issue of bringing down buildings? There aren't too many high-rises, I guess, being brought down in the UK, but you've certainly seen enough evidence of that and watching the video of WTC-7. How did it strike you when you first saw it?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the immediate thing that everybody thought. Why did the buildings come down in perfect symmetrical ways? And I mean, even with this Building 7 situation, the evidence that we're going to present in this program, the federal government basically agreed to destroy the building on the day of September 11th. That itself directly contradicts the official FEMA report, who tried to investigate why the building itself collapsed and concluded, quote, the specifics of the fires in WTC 7 and how they caused the building to collapse remain unknown at this time. So the question is, why would FEMA, the federal government, commission a report into how the building collapsed if it was known, and this is admitted now, we've got the evidence, that they decided to collapse the building on the day of September 11th. And on top of that, many people have suggested that Building 7 collapsed due to fire damage and because there were emergency generators and fuel tanks located in the building. But even the official FEMA report states that these emergency generators remained intact, and so they were nothing to do with
the
cause of the
collapse. Well, they say the fuel tank apparently wasn't breached either. Not only that, it contained diesel fuel, which is not particularly explosive under any circumstance. So, exactly right. Now, remember back to the first World Trade Center bombing in 91, I guess it was, Alex. The idea there was to try to destabilize one of the towers and have it fall over.
Yes.
I mean, that's, you know, you think about it. These things both collapsed geometrically perfectly. Now, I'm going to go back to what I said before the break. And the question I asked was, how did that dynamite get there in such a short period of time? On that very day, September. The answer is, it didn't.
Well, I mean, look, setting up a controlled demolition, and don't confuse that with the company Controlled Demolition Incorporated that did Oklahoma City.
No, don't confuse that at all, please.
Oh, no, I'm not saying you are, Jeff. that confuses me sometimes, but the name of the company, Controlled Demolition Incorporated, getting rid of the evidence. You know, how did this happen? They're now admitting that they pulled the buildings. They talked about it that day on the news. Will they demolish this building? And then somewhere after that point, they decided to change the story and say that, well, let's just not discuss Building 7. There was really never a discussion of Building 7. Well, there was a fire and it collapsed.
Exactly.
And I'm here looking at the photo of it right before it collapsed in the 7th and 12th floor, and there's tiny little fires. And Jeff, you mentioned the first World Trade Center bombing. In my film Road to Tyranny, in the 9/11 archive on Prison Planet and InfoWars, we have the New York Times and Chicago Tribune news articles where they admitted back in 93, and again, in plain view, they just admitted it calmly in the article, that the FBI cooked the bomb, trained the drivers, told them how to park it up against the main central support column in one of the towers, and the two literal retarded men they hire, they both have like 80 IQs, total patsies, by the grace of God, didn't park it where they were supposed to, and that building did not come down, and it only killed, what, a dozen people and injured over 1,000 in smoke inhalation. So again, all of this stuff hidden right out there in plain view, and they came back to the World Trade Center a second time, the entire complex. And I remember the newscast, we have the reports on the website, that the buildings were going to be condemned because they were full of asbestos. And then when the whole complex was blown into particulate dust, which only high-powered hexogen or plastic explosives can do. Once that happened, the EPA put out a report and said, this is horrible asbestos. It's making everybody really sick. And Bush ordered the EPA to put out a false report. This is all confirmed and admitted, saying, no, it wasn't a problem. And we have on the website the mainstream news article where Bush then, out of a $5.1 billion emergency spending bill passed by Congress, the bill included $90 million for long-term health monitoring of World Trade Center rescue workers and volunteers. Bush vetoed that out of the package, just like he doesn't care what his own scientist says about depleted uranium. This is just absolutely incredible. And on top of this, we now have Larry Silverstein, the owner and controller of the entire complex, saying, yeah, we decided to demolish Building 7. Some people say, well, he just says we decided to pull it, and then we watched it collapse. Well, what does pull it mean? We also have posted the clip from the same documentary where one of the heads of the Port Authority says, well, you know, we decided to pull the other buildings a month and a half later in December, 2 months later, and so we demolished them. Pulling a building is the industry term for controlled demolition.
Now, look at all of you online. Go to prisonplanet.com or just click on Alex and Paul's name at rents.com and look at the picture of Building 7. Look at the fire. You'll see it right for yourself. Two floors showing a total of looks like about five window spaces with orange flame. No smoke coming out the windows to speak of. The building looks fine. And then you heard Alex say that the towers were full of asbestos. Well, you can't go into a building that big, two of them, and really take all the asbestos out. But when those buildings came down, as you heard him mention, and rightly so, that asbestos went everywhere. And for those of you who know anything about asbestos poisoning, it doesn't go away. These are little barbed fibers that get into the lungs, and they start moving only one direction, and that's in. It's like when a dog picks up a foxtail, it only goes into the dog. The same thing with fibers of asbestos. That's why they're so deadly. You cannot expel them once you've pulled them into your lungs. They're there. Now, Bush, in cutting off this $5 million, was that what it was, Alex, five?
It was $5.1 billion emergency package with $90
million. $90 million.
Bush had that vetoed out.
All right. Well, he vetoed that probably because of future litigation and liability. If they admit that there's a problem in the first place, it sets them up to a negative advantage in the court later on. There was no problem, so we're not going to fund for it, so forget about the $90 million. And these people, these poor, heroic people, thousands of them have all been hung out to dry now. Same old story. Just like what we're doing to our veterans who are over in the Middle East right now, we're cutting back veterans' benefits so when they come home, they'll have less than when they went over there. It's all happening, friends, and if you don't see it, you're not being a good citizen. It's up to you to inform yourself. Don't rely on the boob tube to do it. It's not going to happen. If you don't care enough about your country to read and to watch people like Alex on his websites and listen to his programs, you know, in a way, you've kind of forfeited your right to be an American citizen, and that's the problem with this country. No one's responsible or accountable anymore. Well, we are, and most of you are, and we will continue in just a couple minutes. Okay, welcome back. Talking with Paul and Alex about this remarkable WTC-7. You've got to go to prisonplanet.com. Go there and look at the pictures, and then look at the video. And again, I have to point out, those explosive charges were not run in there that day. When were they put in there? A week? A month? A year ago? When the building was built? Who knows? It's pretty clear, though, that there may be the potential for a lot of these buildings to have pre-existing demolition charges in them in case of an earthquake, some kind of catastrophe, something like 9/11, when they would have to be taken down. That's my guess, and I suspect it's one of the best-kept secrets in major building in this United States of ours, in these United States of ours, or however united they may be. Maybe some of you building engineers know about this. Maybe you don't, because it can always be done after the fact. So when, Alex Jones, do you think these charges may have been put in there? Do we have any guesstimate on that?
Yes. 1 month before the event, we have the articles on this, they had unprecedented drills in 7, in 1, in 2, where they would evacuate the buildings for hours at a time. And there were all types of interesting federal officers and others in the building. And then, of course, we have MSNBC and others admitting it's not an urban legend. The buildings were half empty that day. People were told not to come into work that day.
Exactly.
People were given tips not to go into work. And we have the ABC News article where Giuliani just blurts out, Freudian slip, blurts out, oh, I got a call and was told to get out of WTC-7. That was 8.5 hours before it collapsed. That was 2 hours before it caught on fire. And also, at prisonplanet.com. We have, from Control Demolition's website, the folks that got rid of they admitted to the Control Demolition on 4, 5, and 6 in mid-December, got rid of the wreckage there, and we have that clip where they call it pulling those buildings, and those were public demolitions of the wreckage of the other buildings.
That's gone. Uh-huh.
Have video clips of Control Demolition blowing up other similar buildings, and you see these plumes, these flashes, the popcorn explosions that go off down the main support beams, and then we have these stills in the video of Tower 1 and 2 with the exact type of plume explosions shooting out down the sides, and some of those were also caught on video at WTC7. So, again, hidden in plain view, and it takes Jeff Rentz and Alex Jones and Paul Watson to simply say the Emperor is butt naked.
Paul, come on in here.
Yeah, we briefly mentioned, we raised the question, when were the explosives placed and how could they have been placed? And Alex briefly mentioned the fact that we had these numerous unannounced and unusual drills in the weeks and months before September 11th, and this actually came out in a BBC article. A man by the name of Ben Fountain, who was a financial analyst who worked in the World Trade Center complex, told People magazine that in the weeks before 9/11, there were these unannounced drills where everybody was ordered out of the building and federal agents went in and, you know, did whatever they were supposedly there to do. So that is a point where the explosives could have been placed. But I mean,
incidentally, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but I just want to add a caveat to this. The week before the Oklahoma City bombing, they had two drills where the building was evacuated for 6 hours at a stretch.
Wow.
And we have the footage, and the governor, Keating, admitting the footage in Road to Tyranny of them removing the unexploded bombs. We have seismographs there as well, and the former head of Air Force Weapons Development saying the building was blown out, not in, and the pillars blasted off with black blast points. Only Imperial stormtroopers are so precise, but we're meant to think that it was the sand people, to use the Star Wars analogy.
Right, well, that was Lieutenant General Ben Parton, who, by the way, stopped talking about that. Fortunately, he was able to talk and had the courage to talk in the beginning, or we wouldn't even have his testimony, but he was obviously given the word to be quiet. Speaking of tips, Alex and Paul, I think the most notorious tip of the entire September 11th catastrophe was received by one Willie Brown.
That San Francisco Chronicle, September 12th, I have the actual paper copy, not just the Internet copy. And by the way, the paper went out and grabbed those up. But later, Mayor Willie Brown of San Francisco went forward and said, yeah, it was Condoleezza Rice that called him the night before and said, don't fly to New York. And we have MSNBC with the Joint Chiefs of Staff saying they were told not to fly to New York that day. We also have Salman Rushdie, Times of London, banned from flying to New York for the month of September by the FAA for, quote, his safety. And of course, Jeff, we have the Associated Press article where on 9/11 the CIA just so happened to be running a drill of flying planes into buildings in New York and D.C., and that's how they ordered NORAD to stand down for an hour and 27 minutes, whereas with the case of golfer Payne Stewart, 15 minutes after his plane went off course, it was surrounded by five F-16s.
Sure.
But here in the most controlled airspace in the world, everyone was told to stand down. Paul?
Yeah, and on top of that, the article was on Rents.com where the F-17 fighters stationed at Atlantic City were strangely decommissioned from their usual duties of defending the country. The day before September 11th, they were sent out to do practice bombing runs, the preparation for bombing the country, which obviously happened 2 months after September 11th. I mean, talking about the issue that we are tonight, I mean, it's years after the fact, almost 18 months, that this comes out, even though it's admitted beforehand. We've also got George Bush Sr. meeting with Bin Laden's brother, Shafiq Bin Laden, in the Ritz Hotel on the morning of September 11th in Washington, just miles away from the Pentagon. So it's one smoking gun on top of another.
And then later that afternoon, flying out 144 members of the Bin Laden family, we reported that 2+ years ago,
sure.
Now headlines, of course, in Vanity Fair and Miami Herald. And we had General Mahmood Ahmed, the head of Pakistani intelligence, who supposedly wired $100,000 to Muhammad Atta as a known CIA asset, meeting with the heads of the House and Senate Intelligence Committee at 8:30 that morning at the Capitol, having omelets and coffee, according to the New York Times.
Mm-hmm.
And the aide walks in and says, the towers have been attacked. They turned, laughed, and said, we know. These criminals are so evil, they just publicly giggle and laugh in our face. It's like Gary Hart at the CFR meeting 3 days after saying we need to use this disaster to get a new world order. And then they tell us there's no new world order. And we've got how many clips, Paul? We've got 7 or 8 different clips concerning WTC demolition.
Yeah, on that very article, we've got 7 or 8 clips, which compare the demolition of the World Trade Center and Building 7 to that of controlled hotel demolitions. The factors of the collapse are exactly the same. The small plumes of smoke both above and below the impact points on the Twin Towers, we have those. And we compare that to the controlled demolition footage, which shows the sides caving in first and then the rest of the building following as it collapses. So it's a mirror reflection.
We will be hearing some clips. We have a break coming up in just a couple minutes. We'll take our top of the hour respite and come right back and hear some of these clips. You know, this story is so big, and the evidence of cover-up is so massive, it almost boggles the mind. And we're professionals, we're journalists, but it is so big. When you just take the Pentagon crash for a little while and look at the amount of material on the net that deals with that. Look at Flight 93, how much material there is online about that story and all the contradictions.
This is much bigger. This is a clear-cut smoking gun.
Agreed. We're moving fast forward now, and we finally got to the point where a human being, a player, said the wrong thing. Now, the other person who said the wrong thing in public, or, well, at least quoted in public by Willie Brown, was Condi Rice, who wants nothing whatsoever to do with testifying in front of anybody, under oath or otherwise.
Well, remember when they had her on national TV, when the 9/11 information first started coming out in early 2002, and she was stuttering, saying, we never heard of any plan by anybody to fly a plane into a building? And there were hundreds of articles about Project
Inca, and these
plans. And then it turns out they have a CIA briefing where they were told that this was going to take place. And, of course, they didn't need to be told. They were involved intimately. Now we have 9 of the 19 hijackers, the BBC reports, still alive. I mean, it goes on and on. We have one of the jets that hit one of the towers pulling a 6.5G. The automatic systems will not allow someone to do that unless it's been overridden by the Global Hawk-type software. I mean, you're right, Jeff. This is such a sloppy job that it's like trying to put on the prosecution for Jeffrey Dahmer. It's an orgy of evidence.
Right.
And it, you know, it's almost like we could spend 2 hours on one facet.
That's one facet. Now, you just touched on something that's interesting, and I haven't heard it mentioned too often, Alex, and that's that the aircraft that hit the tower would not be allowed, it was designed not to be turned at such a sharp G-force angle. Somebody had to go in there and rework the software or override it, and that's hardly the province of some Arab hijackers.
Arab hijackers who, when they were at one of the flight schools, jumped out of the Cessna and let it go rolling down the runway. I mean, there's fighter pilots on the record saying this is impossible. They couldn't do it. And again, they all focus on the flight schools when the hijackers were trained at U.S. military bases. They were just
their
background, their ledger, their story at these flight schools.
Well, we can go from that to the Qurans left in the trunk of the car and the suitcase and the
passport.
That's right, the topless bar the night before and all that hijinks. We've talked about that several times on the program. And then there's the amazing passport found on the ground. Just amazing, isn't it? All right, we'll be right back. It's the darkest moment in America's history, friends, and it's even worse than that. We'll pause and come right back with Alex Jones and Paul Watson. We're going to hear a lot of audio clips in the next hour. Hope you'll stay right there. This is an historic event we're putting together for you tonight. Okay, welcome back. Hour number two. I'm Jeff Rentz with Alex Jones and live from England, Paul Watson. We're talking about Larry Silverstein's now infamous pullet comment and what pull means. And what it means in the trades is to pull down a building, as in demolish it. We've gone through that in the first hour. We're going to hear now some extraordinary audio cuts, courtesy of Paul Watson. Alex, go ahead and set these up for us.
Sure. Paul's in England, and I'm here in Austin, Texas. Of course, you're out on the West Coast, so I'm not sure which clips Paul wants to go through first. Again, if folks want to radio's audio, obviously, but most of these are video clips. You can watch the video of it happening, obviously, by going to Rentz.com and linking through to the poll, the WTC link there with your tonight's guest. Just briefly recapping, Paul, why don't you just in a minute or so recap why this story is so important, what happened, this bald-faced admission, as Jeff said, you know, a slip by one of the insiders, one of the biggest, and then tell us which clip you want to play first. I would imagine it'll be the PBS documentary, Peace America Rebuilding, where Silverstein describes ordering the pulling of WTC-7.
Yeah, I mean, why this is important, one thing that we haven't mentioned is the fact that the perception is that Building 7 was completely evacuated before its collapse, when in fact, and this is a recent update that we added to the story on PrisonPlanet.com, is that the Secret Service segment of the Building 7, was still staffed by some Secret Service personnel, including an officer named Craig Miller, and this comes from the House of Congress website, the New York Electronic Crime Task Force website. He was still in the building, and he is listed as having died in Building 7. So at the very least, we're talking about manslaughter here. But the first clip that we're going to play, what listeners will hear in this clip is, firstly, the narrator, Kevin Spacey, discussing the rebuilding of Building 7. And the video, obviously we're just going to play the audio, but just to give people an idea of what's going on in the documentary, the video then cuts to people running away from Building 7 on the day of 9/11. So it's established that we're talking about Building 7 on the day of the attack.
And that's very important, because people will figure out anything psychologically to rationalize and get around this.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking about, there weren't a lot of, you know, bodies, and people didn't get killed, which is later disproven, at Building 7 because they had hours to evacuate, and showing them running out of Building 7, the firefighters and police telling people to get away. Then it cuts to Silverstein talking about why they decided to demolish it, why they decided to pull it, and then how they said, go ahead and pull it, and then they watched it collapse. Then it cuts to, you hear the rumbling, it cuts to an image of WTC-7 imploding and falling in on itself, and then later we can play a clip where they talk about the later controlled demolition, demolition in mid-December,
mm-hmm.
of 4, 5, and 6, where they talk about how important it is to have them implode in on themselves, and how hard this is, and how good they are, and they use the word pull and explain that's a demolition. And then we've got Dan Rather saying that they had a controlled, that it looked like a controlled demolition. Peter Jennings also said the same thing. So,
sure.
Paul, go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, so this is Silverstein on the PBS documentary, and this clip lasts about a minute, so we'll go ahead and play it now.
World Trade Center 7 had always been considered the starting point for rebuilding. Located north of the slurry wall, 7 had been cleared faster than the rest of the site, and there had been no bodies to recover. By debris when the North Tower collapsed, 7 burned until late afternoon, allowing occupants to evacuate to safety.
I remember getting a call from the fire department commander telling me that they were not sure they were going to be able to contain the fire. I said, you know, we've had such terrible loss of life, and this one thing to do is pull. And they made that decision to pull, and we watched the building collapse.
Okay.
No doubt about it.
And again, some people will get a little confused and say, well, wait a minute, they're talking about rebuilding. The film is America Rebuilding, and I actually got the film delivered today and had a chance to watch the entire PBS film. In fact, I'm holding it in my hand. We have order information for it. You can buy it from PBS, and we have a link on the site to that. We want you to get this and see it for yourself. People go, wait a minute, they're talking about rebuilding. No. they're saying they rebuilt 7 first because there wasn't a bunch of dead bodies in it,
mm-hmm.
and then they go back to the scene and show the evacuation, show Silverstein saying that they had it pulled. They made the decision to pull it, so we said pull it, and then we watched it collapse. So we want to make that clear for those out there that are trying to deny this.
Okay, Paul.
The second clip, and it's important to play this immediately after, features the people heading the cleanup operation 3 months after September 11th, and they're talking about pulling Building 6. Now, Building 6 didn't collapse on the day of the attacks, despite the fact that it was nearer to the Twin Towers than Building 7. But the main point to emphasize in this clip is that they use the term pull to describe the fact that they're demolishing the building. So we can ascertain that the term pull is industry slang for demolish or collapse. So this proves that when Silverstein, in the clip that we just played, said they made the decision to pull Building 7, he means demolish or collapse. So we can go ahead and play second clip.
Paul, I can just add this real quick for folks. Understand, we're playing this clip from, as you said, 3 months later, not 2 months, I was incorrect, from mid-December. We're playing this just to establish that they're saying pull, meaning demolish. Okay,
It doesn't mean evacuate. It means demolish.
Absolutely. It means demolish. And on top of that, it's important for people to understand that Silverstein is talking about Building 7. They're showing Building 7 in the last clip, and he says the building was on fire. For those who try to talk about it, oh, it was other buildings later, folks, the fires were out 3 months later. There weren't buildings burning 3 months later, just to establish that as well. Because some of the spin doctors, some of the dark workers, agents out there have been trying to spin this, and it's clear. Paul, go ahead.
So we play the second clip now, which establishes that the term pull means to demolish or collapse the building.
By mid-December, the Department of Design and Construction had leveled World Trade Center buildings 4 and 5.
Hello? Oh, we're getting ready to pull Building 6.
We have to be very careful how we demolish Building 6. We were worried about the Building 6 coming down and then damaging the slurry wall, so we wanted that particular building to fall within a certain area.
That's the end of the clip.
Well, there it is again, the professionals talking about their trade, and that's the jargon they use.
And pulling is demolishing, and notice we had to be very careful it fell within its own area and didn't damage other buildings, which is what Building 1 and 2, and especially 7 did, crumpled in at its sides, fell together in a tiny pile. In fact, the day of 9/11, one of my family friends is a structural engineer who lives part of the time in Austin, Texas, Jimmy Wright, and this interview's on the side as well. We need to post that, Paul. We need to dig that out and post that. He was there, and I called him that morning when I went on the air at 11, and he went on, and there he was on his cell phone while it's burning, and he's being about to be evacuated on one of the ships, on one of the ferries, and he says, Alex, I've never seen such controlled demolitions. I've never seen such controlled demolitions. Those were explosives inside. And that's what every engineer said that saw it. And we have the oldest firefighter publication and organization in the country, Firefighter Engineering, saying it's all a cover-up and steel doesn't melt and things like that don't happen. So Silverstein trying to say the New York Fire Department said this or did this,
mm-hmm.
I think that's some disinfo there he's throwing out.
By the way, we should make a formal invitation to Mr. Silverstein to come on this program at his convenience and state his views as to what he said and what he meant and so on and so forth. Love to have him on here.
I have put calls in, and we have not gotten a call back. But I hope he will. And Jeff, if he contacts me, I'll tell him to call you.
Well, we'll get together and entertain him and listen to his story. Okay. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, another thing we need to mention is the fact that we know that Rudolph Giuliani got the warning 8 hours before the collapse of Building 7 to evacuate the building, and in fact he got the warning because he was told that the Twin Towers were about to collapse. Now, after we were told that the collapse of the Twin Towers was unprecedented because, it was a steel building, Even though the people in the buildings were ordered to stay in the buildings even after both planes had hit, and we've even had reports from people who were there on the day who had actually left the buildings and were making their way out of the area, that were ordered back into the burning buildings. So we've got that also. And the photographers that were on the scene, especially in regard to Building 7, we had reports that they were being arrested, their films were being confiscated because they were basically filming a crime scene that the film was in the process of covering up.
Exactly, Paul. I've called firefighters like Lou Caccioli, and he said, look, Mr. Jones, there were bombs. I can't talk about it. And he hung up the phone. I called two others. And again, they declared national security, grabbed all the transmission tapes, then lied and said that all the firefighter radios malfunctioned. The firefighters got mad and made copies of the tapes, released it, New York Daily News, with firefighters saying the fires were almost down, calling in the other fire teams. That's why the other firefighters ran in, was to help people get out of the building. They're
exactly.
Not dumb. Mm-hmm. They knew it wasn't going to collapse.
No, they know what structural steel does and what it doesn't do. They're professionals.
This clip is Dan Rather saying, looks like controlled demolition, looks like dynamite.
All right, let's do our break first and come back and hear that. We'll hear Dan Rather in just a couple of minutes. These clips put together and played by Paul Watson, live from the UK. He is the webmaster and contributing editor with Alex Jones at PrisonPlanet.com. Be right back. Talking with Paul Watson in the UK, Alex Jones, of course, here with me, and we're going through Mr. Silverstein's now infamous comments about WTC-7. And I, you know, before we play the clip, Alex, I've always wondered about the fires being so low in that building when it was allegedly being rained upon with burning debris. How did they get from the top all the way down to the bottom like that? There's no evidence that that fire is raging from the top all the way down to the seventh floor.
Well, absolutely, and we must restate that a modern, and that means the last 80 years, steel building has never collapsed. They had a Chicago hotel fire, and I've even seen this posted on your site. We should post it in this report. They had a hotel fire in Chicago, remember back, what was it, in 86, that burned for 3 days?
Oh, yeah.
And it was a burnout husk. It didn't collapse. You can't make steel melt with a blowtorch, folks. You might soften it a bit. And again, Building 7 wasn't hit by a plane. Hours later, catches fire. But we have Rudolph Giuliani on ABC News, and we have that article posted in the expose, saying, "Oh, I got a call to evacuate out of the building that morning, 8 hours before it collapsed. That would be 4 hours before, 5 hours before it caught fire." I mean, it's such a sloppy job, and these guys are always slipping up. It's like Tony Blair saying weapons of mass destruction last month.
Yeah, exactly. I wonder who called the mayor and told him about that. I wonder if it was Condi again, do you think?
Absolutely. The key point Paul was making when I did my great job of cutting him off, which I'm an expert at, because I'm just frothing to expose this. It's so threatening to me and my psyche to see this evil taking place. We have them admitting, and we have links to the House of Representatives, folks, house.gov, and other websites where they admit that at least one Secret Service agent, and I've also read that security guards died in the building, and so they pulled the building that people were in, and at the
well,
same
looks
time...
looks like they pulled two other ones, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Oh, look, it's clear. Folks, watch the controlled demolition of admitted buildings they destroyed, and the little plumes going out down the sides as they blast out the reinforced areas. And then you watch the footage of 1 and 2 and 7. You can see the same thing happening. Then we have the seismographs. But forget all that. We've got Silverstein saying it as well, Paul.
Yeah, I mean, we have to remember that the biggest whistleblowers on this issue are the firefighters themselves. I mean, we had a columnist that writes for our website who went down to the World Trade Center Memorial, met with some of the firefighters who told him directly, that, yes, there were bombs going off all around them, but the order has come directly from James Woolsey and the CIA to basically shut up about it. And so that comes directly from the firefighters themselves.
And now people go down there. I talked, interviewed two separate groups. There's another group we need to talk to. They go down, they unfurl banners that say Bush engineered 9/11 on the public street. Police walk over and threaten to arrest them if they don't put it away. I mean, is this Tiananmen Square? What is America turning into? You know, Bush says the terrorists attacked us because they hate our freedom. Well, it's true. The globalists attacked us so they can take our freedom. So the terrorists must love Bush with Patriot Act 1 and 2 that list all misdemeanors as an act of terror. And that's what was so scary about the State of the Union tonight, is that when you're informed and when you read the news 5 hours a day like I do, I know like Jeff does and Paul does it probably 10 hours a day, you know what just bald-faced lies it all is.
It's incredible. And God forbid we even start talking about executive orders and what's on the books there. It's over, folks. I mean, all it is, it's a signature away, and it's already been signed. When our Congress and our Senate passed the Patriot Act, the Homeland Security Bill, and so forth, basically without even having read them, well, what's that tell you?
Ron Paul said they were given 1 hour at midnight to look at it.
Sure.
1 hour at midnight, a 300-something page bill with thousands of pages of U.S. code connections. I did the analysis of 1 and 2, and at Sonoma State University, a bunch of professors looked at my analysis, couldn't believe it, went and checked it out, and now the claims I made over a year ago about Patriot Act 1 are now public. We're all terrorists. They're using it against topless bars, county commissioners, Rush Limbaugh. They're using it against kids with a bag of marijuana. It has, again, they say it's for the terrorists. Yes, any misdemeanor under Section 802 is an act of terrorism. So I guess the terrorists got what they wanted. If they wanted our freedom, then Bush is the terrorist's best friend. Oh, I forgot. He is the little front man for the military-industrial complex. And I'll say it. They carried this out, and if we don't expose that they did it, they're going to carry out a lot more.
We have about a minute. You want to play? How much time, Kristen? Okay, how long is the clip, Paul?
The next clip is about 35 seconds.
Go ahead with it.
Okay, this is Dan Rather on CBS News talking about the collapse of Building 7. It's a little muffled, so I'll turn the volume up and listen very carefully.
Dan Rather.
Here again, what you're seeing are high shots. Now, here we're going to show you a videotape of the collapse itself. Not a good videotape, the collapse of this building. It's amazing. An amazing, incredible, pick your word. For the third time today, it's reminiscent of those pictures we've all seen too much on television before when a building was deliberately destroyed by world-class dynamite to knock it down.
Indeed, and that is exactly, precisely what all three looks like. And just think of those poor firefighters in New York who've lost so many of their brethren and now are under a gag order not to talk. That's incredible. Incredible. Be right back with Alex Jones and Paul Watson in just a few minutes. Hi, welcome back. Paul Watson is live in the UK. Alex Jones and I are discussing Larry Silverstein's now legendary remark, which kind of laid just in the background there until someone was smart enough to grab it and pull it forward. And forward it is, Let's, if we can, hear Dan Rather again with that, Paul, and I'll tell you why. You remember years ago when Dan Rather testified, and I've forgotten the circumstances of the trial now, and he was on the stand under oath, and the question was asked of him that led him to respond with the famous, and it wasn't he who originated this expression, but he said, if it looks like a duck, da-da-da-da, you know the routine. Well, here he is, a live human being under tremendous stress watching this horrifying event, saying it looks just like, and play that again if you would. I mean, you hear in his voice, and he's living his future words, basically.
Okay, this is Dan Rather describing the nature of the collapse of Building 7 on CBS News.
And again, what you're seeing are high shots. Now, here we're going to show you a videotape of the collapse itself.
Describe that.
Now we go to videotape the collapse of this building.
It's amazing.
Amazing, incredible, pick your word. For the third time today, it's reminiscent of those pictures we've all seen too much on television before when a building was deliberately destroyed by well-placed dynamite to knock it down.
Well, there you go. I mean, what he said years earlier were words that came back to his own future, in a way.
Now, Jeff, I would also add that Peter Jennings and a reporter said the same thing, and then the reporter puts their hand up to the earpiece and suddenly says, okay, there were no explosions. There were no bombs. And I had three VCRs on three TVs because I have satellite and cable on 9/11 running all day. I mean, I probably had 12 tapes all told.
And that was a live remark.
Yes, well, exactly. What happened is the building collapses because I have the entire live footage. It collapses, and he goes, oh, what's that? And he goes, back that up. And he goes, okay. And that's what we picked up. Now we're going to go to videotape. So they just literally, 30 seconds after it happened, they back it up, and you're right. That's a live comment.
Yeah.
Right after he's able to first see it, he plays it back so he can see it because he's talking and they're on another shot. They cut to it as it's falling, and then he says, okay, back that up. And he goes, incredible. Looks like an explosion. And then, in fact, I ought to, that tape's in my film. We ought to get the longer clip on there. And then he comes back and says it again, and that's the clip we've got. And Peter Jennings said something very, very, very similar. And again, it's an orgy of evidence. And we've got other clips. Perhaps we should re-air that Silverstein clip where he talks about pulling the building.
I think we should. Let's play that again. I want to make sure everybody hears that. And again, this is from the PBS documentary.
World Trade Center 7 had always been considered the starting point for rebuilding. Located north of the slurry wall, 7 had been cleared faster than the rest of the site, and there had been no bodies to recover. Pelted by debris when the North Tower collapsed, 7 burned until late afternoon, allowing occupants to evacuate to safety.
I remember getting a call from the fire department commander telling me that they were not sure they were going to be able to contain the fire. I said, you know, we've had such terrible loss of life. And this one I was going to do is pull. And they made that decision to pull. And then we watched the building collapse.
So again, there had to have been pre-positioned explosives. That's the only explanation.
Absolutely. Again, it's not like making a bologna sandwich. The minimum is days. And you've got a burning building, and they make the decision to pull it, and then it falls symmetrically. And then it turns out there were at least one person still inside the building, dead, according to Congress website.
At least.
And again, we have the same stuff happening. Firefighters saying bombs were going off. The fires were almost out. And then you call them up, and Mr. Jones, I've been told not to talk. I got to go now. I have a wife and family. And that's what Cascioli told me. He was the guy at People Magazine saying bombs were going off. Then we have the seismographs. It's just sickening. And I love my family, Jeff. just like Paul loves his family, he loves hers. I'm sick of these criminals. I'm tired of America turning into a sickening Nazi Germany police state. I want the people out there to get the word out, and I know we've backed them off to a certain extent. You know, Bush tonight saying we're not an empire and saying Patriot Act's good. They're on the defensive, but that makes them even more dangerous.
Well, remember, he has, of course, the finest minds working to write these speeches for him, too. He's not, he's just, as you said, he's a mouthpiece. These speeches are written by the best that money can buy.
He stumbles even over the teleprompter.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. I didn't listen to much of it. I heard a couple.
Is Our Children Learning?
Yeah, well, it goes into his book of Bushisms. All right. Paul, go ahead with your next clip.
Okay, well, we're going to play the Peter Jennings clip, which is taken from ABC News, obviously broadcast on September 11th. And it features Peter Jennings and a Good Morning America reporter who is stationed near Ground Zero.
Mm-hmm.
And I've sort of amalgamated the first part and the last part of the clip together because the entire clip was about 4 minutes, so I've just condensed it down. And both the reporter and Peter Jennings described the collapse of the South Tower as being akin to demolition charges being used within the tower. So again, the question is, why are they even talking about it? Are they just throwing it in our faces? Why are they hiding the truth in plain view, which is basically what's going on? So we'll go ahead with the Peter Jennings clip.
All right, we'll hold the break, Kristen, until after this clip is finished. Go ahead.
That's the scene at this moment at the World Trade Center. Stan Baylor from ABC's Good Morning America is down in the general vicinity. Dan, can you tell us what has just happened?
Yes, Peter. It's Don Taylor down here. I'm 4 blocks north of the World Trade Center. The second building that was hit by the plane has just completely collapsed. The entire building has just collapsed as if a demolition team set off. When you see the old demolitions of these old buildings, it's folded down on itself and it is not there anymore.
Not saying on itself. This is a place where thousands of people work. We have no idea what caused this. If you wish to bring anybody who's ever watched a building being demolished on purpose knows that if you're going to do this, you have to get at the under infrastructure of a building and bring it down.
You have to get at the under infrastructure to bring it down. Look, just like the controlled demolitions we've all seen.
Yeah.
And then the report goes on with the reporter going, no bombs. No bombs were involved. Peter Jennings, no bombs, no bombs. Notice that. They said they don't know what did it, but seconds later, earpiece, no bombs, no bombs. Very interesting.
To say the least. Hold on, we'll pause on that note. Lots to think about, and be right back. All of us, you and me and Alex and Paul, sitting here in awe of the amount of evidence that ought to be being pulled in front of the highest level commission that has ever been put together in the history of the United States to examine, explore, and penetrate this obvious, gross, horrible crime that has gone on and find out exactly who was truly responsible for it. But what do we have? We have the president, of course, acting on behalf of those folks in the background, saying he doesn't want to extend the 9/11 Commission's investigation.
And then, Jeff, we've got not two, but all the people on the Commission intimately involved in September 11th. It came out in the Washington Post last Thursday.
They're all insiders, to one degree or another.
Well, they've been secretly testifying because they were, quote, involved. They've been called as witnesses. One of the Democrats a few months ago resigned and got paid off with an Ex-Im Bank chairmanship by Bush. And I love my family so much, Jeff. I love this country so much. And we look at the documents. We look at the evidence. It's not our opinion. And I just can't imagine that we're going to allow them to get away with what they're doing. And I'll state it again. The CFR and the globalist think tanks put out their white papers. PNAC put out their white papers.
It's all there.
They plan to carry out more and more escalating terror attacks to set up a police state here at home, a cashless society control grid, and then use us in a national draft to focus the American people as their war horse, as their slave, a power slave, to go after 63 countries. And now they've officially said, we're going into Syria, we're going into Iran, we're doing all of this, they've lied to us. The Pentagon was caught 4 months ago planting hundreds of fake letters from troops with false signatures in newspapers saying how much they love the war.
Was it hundreds? I knew it was some. I didn't hear hundreds.
No, it was hundreds. I mean, what you would see is a you know, article that would say, well, and locally, five of our newspapers got these fake letters. Another group of newspapers, well, we got 20. Well, we got 30.
Right.
Yes, it was hundreds, but the story only came out for a week and then disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
I saw one of the letters in my local Statesman, and that was never reported. I went back, dug out the Statesman because I'd seen it, and whoa, there were two of the fake letters.
Right.
Two separate days, and I never saw a story about that. You know, Jeff, here's an example. I counted up over 400 cities that have thrown out the Patriot Act. They're still reporting 100.
100. Just over 100. Yeah, whatever it is.
Yeah, and it's well over 400.
Wow.
They're not even reporting that Atlanta and Dallas are throwing it out. So
you know what we need to do, Alex, is you do such a masterful job of drawing parallels from historic events. We need to go all the way back to Operation Northwoods and see where this came from. This started in the 1960s with Northwoods.
And it's now even admitted, you know, when Kennedy, we all heard for years that Kennedy's brother said to the Soviets, you better back off. There's about to be a coup. They want war with you. You know what? The Soviets did back off because they were scared. And Northwoods is Lemitzer's plan, the chairman, joint chiefs of staff, to hijack jets, bomb D.C., commit sniper attacks, blow up ships, kill Marines at Guantanamo Bay with U.S. Army dressed up like Cubans. This is signed, admitted. Kennedy was a hawk. He was going to war, doubled the defense budget. He was for the Federal Reserve. He woke up when Lemitzer came to him and said,
right,
let's kill some college kids. They're ideal. That'll get everybody mad. That'll cause a helpful wave of national indignation. That's a quote out of the Northwoods document that's at Rents.com and PrisonPlanet.com. And exactly. I mean, we have the official U.S. government plan. And then you fast forward to what happened in 2000, the PNAC document, Rebuilding America's Defenses, where they say, we need another helpful Pearl Harbor event.
The dry run was OKC. That was that was the first step. They tested the public. They pushed. They probed. They watched. They listened, and they learned. And they noticed how the people responded, and how quickly they took the word patriot and made it the dirtiest word in the English language. They were then, at that point in time, I think, convinced. This is after the first World Trade Center bombing attempt, of course. OKC. You see the progression, how it works. You got to watch that anti-terror legislation that was rushed through right after the Oklahoma City bombing. They knew they had it made then, and then it was just a question of time before the big one. And that was the slam dunk on September 11th. Now we're waiting for the other shoe to fall, though.
And now, Jeff, you're absolutely right. Instead of talking about thousands of dead, Gary Hart and the CFR are going, millions.
They're already telling us what's going to happen.
Millions are going to die.
They're telling us, just like Tommy Franks told us, exactly what's going to happen.
Oh, that's right. He said in last month's Cigar Aficionado, we're going to set aside our government for a military form of government. This is what we have to do. But even worse, General Eberhardt, the current head of NORTHCOM in Colorado, the new military command, said, the Pentagon is watching you, LA Times. He said, the Pentagon's watching you. Troops are going to run your life. And we're getting rid of Posse Comitatus.
Well, there it is. These people like Tommy Franks don't speak out of school. When he says something, he knows what he's saying.
Exactly, Jeff. I've been talking about martial law for 10 years because I saw the documents. But now they're going public. They're preparing the minds. They're laying the groundwork. And you know, people ask me how I can work 14 hours a day. How could I not? I know this is happening. Right. It's like being somebody in Nazi Germany in 1938 warning people, folks, well, America is dying right now. We're losing everything. My family, everything. We're going down the tubes. You better spread the word, and you better say, I'm never giving up my liberty, because I don't get security when I do that. I get tyranny. And in England, they've passed martial law provisions. They're trying to pass more. Paul, tell them about that.
Yeah, I mean, everything that Alex has mentioned going on in America is being mirrored directly, and even, I mean, we're ahead of America in some aspects in this country, because recently we had the Civil Contingencies Bill raised, which is about to pass in Parliament, which would allow the government to, in a case of, you know, a state of emergency, which we've been under since September 11th, which, I mean, if you look at what the Chinese recently did, changing their constitution from martial law to state of emergency, it's basically the same thing. This Civil Contingencies Bill will allow the government to rush through emergency legislation without a vote from anyone within Parliament. It allows them to set up temporary rest and relocation camps.
That's what they call it. Rest and relocation camps. I mean, you know, these terms, rest and relocation camps, homeland security, can it get any more ridiculous?
No, they play these games, semantic games, and the people don't see it, most people. It's amazing to me what's going on in England. It's amazing to me how quickly Europe was deprived of its individual nationalism as well under the EU. Now we've got England being trashed with the same kind of flood of illegal immigrants and crime that's going on here in the States. Hey, Paul?
Yeah, I mean, you talk about the European Union. We had the Bilderberg meeting last year, which most of your listeners will obviously know what Bilderberg is, but it's a private meeting of the top business, banking, academia, and media heads who meet once a year in Europe to direct world policy behind closed doors. And at the last meeting, it came out the BBC went in and got the documents from the original Bilderberg meeting in 1954, where they proposed the creation of the European Union and the single currency, and this was before the European Union even existed as a trading bloc, and now you've got the same process taking place in America with the free trade area of the Americas, where they're trying to mold the Americas into one unit with one single currency, because if you want to achieve power, then the best way to you know, achieve that is to centralize power into fewer hands, and that's exactly the process that's going on across the world right now.
And Jeff, what will life be like under Homeland Security? I saw a year and a half ago Ridge on C-SPAN. I think the two-hour meeting he had, where he said the CAPS-2 system isn't for the airlines. It's to have a job. Your driver's license, it's really a national ID card with a biometric identifier, will have the four levels of security. You're not going to be able to have a job if you have bad credit. You're literally, I have the North Carolina newspaper saying the troops are being trained to be with machine guns in the factories, drug testing us. It was on the local news. I see it on TV a year and a half ago. Then the local news announces the Army's offering free drug testing for all businesses. It's part of infrastructure protection. I want somebody to pinch me and wake me up from this nightmare.
Yeah, really. I mean,
it's, folks, it's here. A level of control that makes the Soviet Union look like a cakewalk.
It amazes me how many of our men and women in law enforcement are going right along with this, though. They're just following orders, doing what they're supposed to do, and they're not complaining, at least not out loud. If they want to keep their jobs, and they all have mortgages and families and kids, many of them, it's incredible how they're turning American against American.
You know Sheriff Arpaio, who has 8,000+ people in his Maricopa County jail,
right,
and shows video of them, you
right
know, on the toilet, on his website?
Right.
I'm sure you've heard. Okay, I was interviewing him last week because I had the articles where they, at checkpoints now, demand people's blood. And he said, well, what's wrong with that? I mean, we now have the police demanding to stick a needle. I'm sorry. Somebody tries to pull me over and stick a needle in my arm, I'm going to get violent, folks. I mean, again, in Nazi Germany, the Nazis just asked for your papers.
No.
They didn't stick a needle in you.
It's, in many ways, it has surpassed the worst days of the German Reich. And there are many arguments now being made academically and scholastically on the Internet about the comparisons. They'll only become more acute as we progress. Each day, each week moves us closer to the next event, which will then, in a blink of an eye, change this wonderful republic of ours into a martial law enclave. It's going to happen. It's all been written up, and it's ready to go. So we'll talk more about this in the next hour with Alex Jones and Paul Buffett. Okay, welcome back. I'm Jeff Rentz with Alex Jones tonight at his webmaster and contributor at PrismPlanet.com, Paul Joseph Watson, live from the UK. We've been listening to some sound clips talking about just a few of the egregious pieces of evidence that are slopping all over the table now with respect to 9/11 and who did it. And it was really a pretty crummy job, but they pulled it off because they own the media and they can intimidate people and they can make people disappear. And they're ruthless. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. They will not give up their power without taking the rest of us down with them or trying to. It's that bad. Now, Alex, you said something that I'm sure a lot of Americans who are listening may not believe. And that is that they now, in terms of law enforcement, are leaning toward the ability to put random, what the Supreme Court told them, they can put random roadblocks to look for crime tips, they call it, anywhere they want, anytime they want. Now, you're mentioning that they can actually grab someone in their car and stick a needle in them. That's where we're headed, folks.
Yes, I have Mesa News articles, Arizona Star articles. I have articles out of New York, articles out of Florida, articles out of Colorado. Going back 2 years, they announced, oh, we're going to be taking random drug samples via your blood at roadside checkpoints. And I had one of these sheriffs on, was talking to him, and he was like, well, what's wrong with that? It'll stop criminals.
It's amazing. This amazes me.
And it, well, exactly. And you know, talking about the police
state, it'll stop criminals. They don't get it. They don't get it, or they don't want to get it. But I know a lot of men and women in law enforcement do get it, but they're afraid. They don't want to rock the boat or they're out. It's that simple.
Hey, there's a thing called Army News Watch that airs all over the country. And 2 years ago, I saw them announce whether on local TV, it's a national show, the county carries it, whether you have 2 employees or 100, the Army will drop by and do weekly or monthly drug testing. This helps keep our homeland safe.
Wow, wow. And, you know, 10 years ago, Officer Jack McLam was on this program and said exactly what we're seeing happen with respect to law enforcement. He said they're going to become militarized. They're going to take paramilitary training. They're going to be carrying military weapons. You watch. And he's right. It's all happened.
Well, we've had their documents, and for listeners, and Jeff, I've been so honored to be on the show this long with Paul Watson and yourself.
Oh, that's great. Thank you.
But I just want listeners to tune in for the first time to understand. I started out as, you know, I even put yard signs up for the Republican Party, you know, Mr. Conservative, and I found out the Republican Party was selling me out just like the Democratic Party. So I want folks tuning in to know this is not some partisan issue. Whether it's Bill Clinton or George Bush, they're just puppets for this globalist military-industrial complex agenda. And I've told Democrats, you should love George Bush if you like Bill Clinton. Open borders, Bush is going to re-sign the assault weapons ban. He unleashed all the supercomputers to China.
Right.
Rumsfeld on the board selling nuclear reactors in North Korea. Bush signing back on to UNESCO and the UN. Bush protecting Bill Clinton and the Pardongate Committee. Locking Dan Burton. Campaign finance reform where you or I can't interview Gun Owners of America or any other group 60 days before an election.
You know what? There's a brilliant litany. And you know people should have seen this all coming. When Bush took office and said he saw no reason to go back after the Clinton administration. Remember that, legally? He said, there's no reason to go backwards. We're going to go forward. He gave him a free ride. He gave him a ticket to ride. That was the tip-off that it was over.
Exactly.
That's what tipped me off, anyway. I mean, that whole thing with the rich Pardon and all those people in Pardongate, come on. And he said, we're not going to prosecute them. We're not going to look there. We don't want to go there.
Supreme Court, I mean, I remember 8 years ago seeing the Supreme Court ruling on UN orders and on EU court operations. People kept denying it when I had the documents. Now it's been all over the news. Well, the Supreme Court rules according to the UN now, and, you know,
right.
That's our new boss. I mean, folks, we're inside this global system now. The question is, how deep down this pit are we going to let this monster drag
us? Right. I go back to that issue of illegal immigration. No accident there. They had to tear America apart from within. They had to bring America down to its knees because we would no longer be the light of independence and success to the rest of the world and grace and goodness and decency. They had to trash America in order to pull this whole globalist thing off. And that's what they're doing by flooding the country. And again, this is not an issue of racism, so don't email me. This has to do with bodies of illegal immigrants. I don't care what kind of bodies they are. They flooded America with immigrants. They're doing it right now in the UK. Paul, tell us about that.
Well, yeah, in the UK, immigration under the current Labour Party has increased, you know, tenfold each year. And at the same time, we've got our Home Secretary, David Blunkett, telling us that we have to accept a national ID card to fight illegal immigration when they're the ones bringing the illegal immigrants in to create this pretext.
Yeah,
I mean, we mentioned the whole left-right paradigm, and that's the key. We have to crack that paradigm and wake people up by pointing out that left and right are essentially two arms on the same beast, and to, for people to be really effective in their opposition to this new world order takeover, they have to see past the rhetoric of left or right. And I mean, we've noticed a line coming out of the big editorials in the major newspapers around the world that are beginning to tell us that the only way to stop the evil right-wing world government, you know, the neocons, is to have a loving left-wing world government, which is like having a choice between chocolate and strawberry ice cream when you don't even like ice cream.
Very well said, yeah.
The main emphasis is on how this neocon imperialism is being played up in the media, while at the same time the opposition to it is being used to pump up the United Nations, as is the case in Iraq, to be the global saviour. And now we've got serious discussion about the UN going back into Iraq, which was planned all along.
And I'm on the record 2 years before the Iraq invasion saying we're going to go in, we're going to commit atrocities, then the UN's going to come in, have elections, and play the good guy.
Mm-hmm.
And see, to get to a sophisticated level, when we have the German technology minister writing a best-selling book saying the U.S. government carried out 9/11, and Michael Metzger, the number three guy in the Blair government, resigning and saying if they didn't carry it out, they certainly allowed it to happen, and that big editorial he wrote, they again then say, oh, the UN's the answer, they're the good guys. Well, the same military-industrial complex that owns Europe, owns America, and owns our media, and, again, is driving us into the arms of the UN. So it doesn't matter. We've got to get back to the political discussion of freedom versus tyranny. That's the paradigm we had until 100 years ago,
right,
when these big banks bought up our universities. And it's just, I mean, earlier you mentioned Tommy Franks, Jeff, saying, well, after the next attack, we go to martial law. And we've got the head of NORTHCOM saying it, General Eberhardt. I mean, this is bone-chilling. I have a Rocky Mountain News article from a year and a half ago where they go, the mass graves and incinerators are ready, millions are going to die. Last year, and it's in my film, Police State 3 Total Enslavement, in the Gannett News Service, Sid Casperson, the head of FEMA in New Jersey, said, if we ever go to red alert, you can't leave your house. This is a quote. You'll be considered an enemy combatant if you do. Virtually all your constitutional rights will be stripped. So they just got to have a bigger event. Tell us that the guys in black ski mask are here to save us. This is about a shift in a total and complete control. And you mentioned the illegal aliens. Again, about 1 out of 10 illegals, the census even admits, reported to the census. So the census says 8 to 14 million. Well, the real number is 25 million. And regardless, if they'll work for $3 an hour, the globalists have admitted in policy reports that they want to drive down wages so we're all on welfare, all dependent,
right,
and so now they tell the welfare mothers, you got to take the 30 vaccines full of mercury or you don't get your welfare.
You don't get your money. You know what, the middle class is
dependent.
Right, the middle class is being wiped out. It's a long plan. It's about gone. The outsourcing of jobs, the hemorrhaging of jobs overseas is absolutely mind-boggling. Look, as far as Paul said, people have to look at this issue. They've got to look and see that they're two arms on the same body, left and right. They're two people on the same bus going to the same location, two people on the same airplane. It doesn't matter. They're simply sitting in different seats. But most people, unfortunately, can't look past their television screen to see anything anymore. By the way, Alex, your UN scenario in Iraq is coming closer and closer. In this troop rotation that's going on now, we are reducing the number of troops in Iraq by 20%. I don't know if you caught that or not. 20% cutback in the total number of troops. And talking about two arms on the same body, liberal and conservative, how about John Kerry and George Bush? You get your choice of bonesmen.
Well, I mean, look, I snuck into Bohemian Grove 3 years ago.
I know you. No, we did that show, and your tape was absolutely staggering to watch.
And this is our Christian conservative leaders, and again, it just aired on national television on Trio Network again, the British variant of my footage, and they have the Grove at the end going, yeah, Alex Jones filmed our ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's true. I mean, they admit that they worship a demonic creature called Moloch out of the Old Testament, a human sacrifice god. I mean, I didn't believe it, Jeff. I read the articles out of the Santa Rosa News and mm-hmm. you know, out of the Press Democrat and out of the Bohemian newspaper and out of the San Francisco Chronicle. So I said, okay, I'll sneak in. We'll see if this is true, because I've done that stuff before. I snuck in. I caught the ritual on tape. They admit I did it. And then I've been on big national Christian shows, and they call me a wicked devil for claiming George Bush goes there, and then they'll just lie to their audience. They admit that Bush is skull and bones, and MSNBC admits that they have Nazi flags, that it was founded by the Illuminati in 1832 with the Russell Trust. I mean, this isn't debatable. I mean, again, everything is the opposite of what you've been told. Everything is the opposite of what you've been told. And look, Jeff Rentz, Alex Jones, Paul Watson, we have consciences. I feel bad when I'm rude to my wife or mean to a neighbor or I do something wrong or I take the last piece of pie out of the refrigerator. We couldn't be in these positions of power because we're not ruthless and disgusting in a corrupt system. We couldn't live with ourselves. The very nature of this synthesis of evil, this matrix of evil, is that these people enjoy the evil. They get off on it. They love it.
Right.
And they killed 200 million people last century alone through Nazism and communism and now through the other isms. We talk about Zionism. The Simon Wiesenthal Center supports Arnold Schwarzenegger, who in 1978, in front of 1,000 people at a bodybuilding contest, screamed, "I hate all blacks, N-word, 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 you're subhuman, you're bad." He campaigns for Kirk Waldheim. He says, "I don't care if he's a Nazi." He hangs out with him to this day. He says he dreams of being like Hitler, being worshipped. I have all the news articles, his quotes, and the Simon Wiesenthal Center endorses him, and then I fight Nazism. Nazis are evil,
right.
Lucifer, occultist, skull and bones arm, and then I'm bad for fighting that. I'm bad because I'm against the Palestinians being in concentration camps.
Oh, yeah. It's all a game. I know. And don't forget how much money Schwarzenegger is alleged to have given the Wiesenthal Center to get that support, too, or to encourage it. I think it's $5 million, something like that. We'll be right back. Okay, we're back. And don't forget, I said it before, I want to say it again. Our wonderful country, our great country, had to be reduced by these people to second world status at least. The light of liberty and freedom that we were to the world for so long, we were the most loved nation on the planet, it had to be diluted. It had to be essentially debauched, and now what are we, bankrupted? It had to be brought down almost from within. Just, Alex, I guess almost like WTC7 was brought down. It had to be pulled down from within and then turned into the most hated nation on the planet, which is just about a total fait accompli now. I mean, we are despised by much of the world and mocked and reviled by an even greater portion of it. So this is all a plan, but the American light on the globe had to be extinguished, and
they're
just about finished with that.
Exactly, and now they're simultaneously using us to be the bad cop, and countries all over the world are setting up draconian police state measures and saying, hey, America's doing it, it's okay if we do it. And at the other last hour, you said you wanted to get into some of the history of government-sponsored terrorism, Northwoods and PNAC, and the admissions by the federal government and others that they want to carry out terror as a pretext to mobilize us for war and set up a control grid here. Paul Watson has written a book, Order Out of Chaos, Elite Sponsored Terror, and the New World Order, and there's a chapter about MI6, Her Majesty's Terrorist Network. Again, they just plain view calmly in the BBC, London Guardian, London Telegraph, have admitted that almost all the bombings the last 25 years have been carried out by MI5, cooking the bombs, doing it all. They basically are the Orange. They basically are the Irish Republican Army, as a pretext to keep troops in Northern Ireland. And Paul, I mean, this just comes out in your newspapers. They go, yeah, the government did it, and we're sorry. And UPI announces, and Haaretz even announces, you know, Jewish newspapers, that Israel real creates fake al-Qaeda teams and carries out many of the bombings. I mean, this is not our opinion. This is Haaretz and Jerusalem Post. Paul, we've got whole terror, government-sponsored terror sections on the website, and you've got it all, in the book. Do you want to tell the listeners about that?
Yeah, I mean, this whole paradigm is exactly what is forcing this whole agenda through. Terrorism throughout the world. We go from Israel to Russia, where Putin was caught with the FSB planting hexagen explosives to take down the apartment blocks in the late 90s, which later justified his war on the Chechens and a police state in Russia. And then, as you mentioned, MI5 got caught carrying out the Omar bombing in August 98 in Ireland, which killed dozens of people. And they just calmly admitted in that one of the, the biggest Scottish newspaper that MI5 had an agent, and MI5 is this country's domestic CIA, basically.
Mm-hmm.
MI5 had an agent within the actual Omar bomb squad who talked to the bomb maker the night before the bombing, tracked the bomb to its destination, and then was on the ground coordinating the attack. And you look at the people.
Now that they've been funding them. Tell them about funding al-Qaeda and protecting them in safe houses.
Yeah, we had the case of, I forgot his name now, but it was the European leader of al-Qaeda. He was described as the European ambassador for al-Qaeda, who was kept in an MI5 safe house, and this came out in July 2002 in the London Times. He was fed, clothed, and protected, and he was al-Qaeda's European ambassador. MI5 got caught protecting him. And, I mean, the people that blow the whistle on this kind of thing are actually former agents themselves, like former MI5 agent David Shaler, who came out and accused MI5 of funding political assassinations around the world. And who did they use? They used al-Qaeda. It came out that they paid off al-Qaeda $200,000 in 1996 to carry out political assassinations.
Not
remember?
Much when you compare the $87 billion that Bush was just given. And you remember the arrogance of Bush, Alex? After he got the money, he said, I'm not going to tell you where I'm going to spend it. That's my business, basically. Now he's going to ask for $50 billion more.
And then no bids allowed. Here's an example.
No bids allowed.
Here's an example of their semantical manipulation. No bids are given out to American companies other than Bechtel, Halliburton, and, of course, DynCorp. Those are the three in Iraq. No bids allowed. They're just given unlimited money. Halliburton gets caught double charging for fuel, feeding rotten food to the troops. All of this. And then when this all comes out that no bids are allowed, they spin it and go, we're not going to give those French any of the contracts. American companies aren't being given the contracts, but the news headline is Bush refuses to give French contracts. No. This is a discussion of no bids for American companies, but they distract by going, we're not going to give them evil French people some of the contracts when they were against the war. Mm-hmm. It had nothing to do with that. See, I mean, that's just an example of how it's all just amazing propaganda.
Well, they've kept America so stressed out, too. Most people don't want to deal with this. They'd rather turn on the TV and pop a Budweiser and watch that sports or whatever it is they're going to do. So it's, again, a question of mind control and toxicity. And we got to remember how Americans have been poisoned, literally. But we could talk about fluoride, and don't laugh about that. There's a lot more to fluoride than most people will ever even dream about. It's all an incredibly sophisticated, complicated plan that has been carried out for many, many decades and carried out very well, by and large. They've got us where they want us now, and it's few people like Alex Jones and Paul Watson who are out there making noise. There are others, but we aren't as many as we ought to be. So it's up to you folks to spread the word and tell your friends to either...
Thank you.
Hi, we are back. Paul Upson and Alex Jones, and I'm Jeff Rentz, and the website is Rentz.com and PrisonPlanet.com, one of the great sites on the Internet for you folks who are still able to think, and that's most of you listening. You folks who aren't listening, shame on you. How's that? Now, Alex, I don't know how to wake people up when there's nobody home. I don't know how to get to our young people when the schools have done what they've done. I think these people who have planned this takeover of America for so many decades have done a masterful job, and all the more so because they are so sloppy about many of the things they have done, and they get away with it because they've bought, bribed, blackmailed, and paid off the people they need. They put in place judges who will ride with them whenever they call. It's not a hassle for them anymore. They pretty much own the playing field. So what are we going to do about it?
Well, Jeff, you're right, and we're.
I don't mean to sound defeatist. I'm trying to sound practical here.
Well, no, I mean you're right. I mean, to fix something, we've got to address and articulate just how serious the problem is, and so much of it is that people are in denial, saying it can happen here, and so it's good to say it can happen and it has happened, and we're starting to slide down the razor blade into the pool of alcohol right now. So we need to stop this slide while we still can. And Jeff, here's the good news. You're the biggest radio show I've ever been interviewed by, but I've done over 1,300 radio interviews since 9/11. This is my fourth interview.
Wow.
Today.
Wow.
And I'll be on Pacifica, or I'll be on KOA, or I'll be on KFI, I'll be on conservative, liberal shows.
Uh-huh.
And on shows that take calls, we'll take 20, 30 calls in 2 hours.
Right.
A lot of your listeners have heard this. No one calls in disagreeing with me. Then you see the polls, and it, you know, says the opposite.
Right. Well, we know what polls are.
So much of this is the fact that throughout history, elites get arrogant. They get total control. They get sloppy. We see this in criminology with psychopaths. They do their first 10 or 15 murders cleanly, with precision, cover it up. Then they always get sloppy on purpose, either out of arrogance or an innate need to be caught.
Right.
And I think a lot of this, now these are just human beings too, is that you know, they're saying, somebody stop me. And people are awakening, but you're right. They feel like you were just articulating that it's so bad. What's wrong with these people? We have to remember 5% of the country started and won the Revolutionary War. And it's going to be 5% or less that win this fight. And I know we have more than 5% now. Just so many of them don't see themselves as warriors, as info warriors.
That's right. They don't see themselves as leaders or activists. They're intellectually alert, but that's not enough.
Intelligence agencies. You know, Echelon has maximum 50,000 employees, CIA 100,000, and a lot of them aren't bad, they're just compartmentalized. Well, what do we have? I mean, our type of website, your website, one of the biggest on the Internet. There are thousands of websites. We are the biggest thing on the net after porn. And so hundreds of millions of people around the world, I mean, I get 2,000 emails a day. I'd hate to know what you get, because your site's probably about, I don't know, 10 times bigger than mine, more visitors, more than that probably. So the point here is that I've seen a total shift. I get on the radio 8-9 years ago, and we had 10 phone lines, and half the lines disagreed with me. Now I beg week after week on you know, 50 times as many listeners, please disagree with me, and I'm not hearing it. All I get is the occasional disinfo person attacking me.
Right.
So I've seen a major shift. The people are waking up. The globalists have gotten so arrogant. They always get stupid. And they're also fighting with each other for power and control. So we just have to have faith.
I agree. And if we don't have faith, forget it. We have to have faith not only in ourselves, but to the larger universe that is controlling all of this. And I'm talking about the big fella upstairs, of course. We have to remember from whence we came.
They don't control everything, and we know one thing. Evil always goes down, always at the point when it's the darkest, and when it seems like there's nothing stopping it, it falls apart on itself.
Well,
these parasites have to have a host to live on, and the nature of their sadistic psyche means they don't know when to stop. These bastards don't know when to stop, and I'm telling them, they have already lost.
Remember, the darker it is, the brighter the light looks. And that's what's happening. And you're right. I get email all the time from people who are they're caring, they're concerned, and they are waking up. They just want to know what to do about it. So we will have to continue to keep them informed. That's what I tell people, just stay as informed as you can, help those who want to be helped, and do your best.
And as Christ said, pearls before swine. You know, if somebody argues with me and is angry, I'll talk to them for an hour. But if they laugh at me and you know, tell me about the football game, I walk on. But if somebody disagrees with me and wants to debate it, I will, because I know I have the facts. And we're going to win this thing. We don't have a choice. And, you know, despite the fact that they're drugging 6 million children on Ritalin, 10 million on Prozac-type drugs, mm-hmm. despite the fact they're putting fluoride and all this stuff in our water, despite all that, the human spirit is shining through. And, again, we have history on our side. And I would just beg people out there, I'll go to the grocery store, Jeff. I have a local TV show that's been on for 10 years here in Austin. It's not bragging, but it's one best of Austin. My only point about that is that it's a gauge. My view, mm-hmm. you know, wins best of Austin in the newspaper Reader's Poll, mm-hmm. which they, by the way, hate.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started out 10 years ago, but I'll be at the grocery store, and if I stop and start talking to somebody, 20 people will gather around. They all agree, but they'll all say at the end of it, we're all alone. Nobody cares. We're powerless.
Right.
And I go, there's 20 of you. You all agree. Why don't you guys go take the city over? You know, if you all became activists, oh, no, we want to thank you for what you're doing, or we want to thank Jeff Renz, or we want to thank your webmaster, Paul Watson. No, folks, you got to put up websites. You got to call the talk shows. You got to go get the Patriot Act thrown out in your city. You've got to expose what Tommy Franks has done. You've got to expose the fluoride. There's more of us than there are of them. And you look at these intelligence agencies, our intelligence agency of independent thinkers debating and researching and going through this synthesis, this counter matrix against their matrix, is destroying them. And that's why you see them grasping and lying and being so arrogant. I'm telling you, I know in my guts, in my soul, we are winning this fight.
Right. Wonderful way to go to a break. We'll do that. Come right back with Paul Watson and the inimitable, the one and only Alex Jones. PrisonPlanet.com is his site, and we shall continue. Back. Let's go to Paul Watson and ask him a couple of questions here. Paul, first of all, as you look across the pond at America, and I don't know how many years you've been studying this whole issue, but you do see the same thing we do, don't you, that it's being brought down from within piece by piece, and there's quite clearly a plan underway?
Yeah, I mean, that's the point that Alex was making, that evil will destroy itself, but on the same token, culture's being brought down from within. I mean, via television and this whole new decadent culture that's being promoted. Basically, what they're doing is boiling the body politic down to a sports mentality. I mean, we had the Domino's Pizza poll that was put out that said that the declaration of the war on Iraq was the most popular night for ordering pizzas.
Amazing.
Behind the Super Bowl. So, I mean, we've got it's basically a polarization, but on the one hand, we've got people who are willing to cheer for all this tyranny because, you know, they visit their basketball team once a week and cheer for a team of, you know, rapists and criminals. So why would that stop them cheering for the government? But, I mean, one of my favorite quotes in the whole, you know, how to wake up people area is by Thomas Jefferson, and he said, enlighten the people generally and the tyranny and oppressions of body and mind will vanish like spirits at the dawn of day. So we've got this whole shift that's going on where you're either awake or you're gone, and if we don't encourage the people who are awake to take back the government, then the country itself will be gone.
Well, that's it, and one of the most empowering things in my life was knowing the truth and the truth setting me free.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, folks, you can't be in limbo here. Either you fight this and stand up and are a human being, or you're on the side of darkness, and it really boils down to that. And, you know, Jeff, in a few of my films, I get into what some of the elites have said publicly.
Uh-huh.
Why is the elite doing this now? What are they racing? show on this sometime.
There is a rush. They're moving quickly. They're doing it right out in our faces. Of course, they've got control now. They can get away with it. But what is the rush, in short, here?
Well, you talk a lot about advanced technologies, suppressed technologies, and so much of that is in biotech. New Jersey, mm-hmm. 3 weeks ago, passed a law where they can bring a clone to birth, keep it alive, and use it for body parts. I mean,
right.
Is there anything more dehumanizing?
No.
And Bill Joy, the co-owner of some microsystems, and others have said why the future doesn't need us. He says he's been to meetings. This is Wired Magazine, April 2000. He says he's been to meetings where the elite talk about how they want to get rid of us, dumb us down, herd us into compact cities, keep us suppressed in a kind of new dark ages where the technology doesn't really advance,
mm-hmm.
while the elites enjoy all the life extension technology, all of the new developments, space travel, everything. So they're telling us that human development, human's future, that we're not going to be a part of that. And that enrages me, that we're not going to have access, that my children aren't going to have access to that, and that we're going to be put into this mindless, dumbed down, retro barbarian, system. And so that's what's happening, is they're dumbing us down, they're using terror to get us herded into cities. And then, according to Prince Philip, Ted Turner, and others, they plan orderly sterilization, which they've already done in third world countries.
Right, right, right. Well, global 2000.
Yes, and the extermination of 95% of us, according to Ted Turner, only 80%, according to Prince Philip. And folks, I'm not making this up. This is the plan. And so this is for humanity. People say, man, aren't you afraid they're going to kill you? You know something? There's so many of us now fighting, and it makes it hard, but they can do a big sweep and try that in the future. But frankly, I'd be willing to die right now for my future progeny in humanity to be able to touch the stars, enjoy that technology, enjoy that life extension, and a true, dawn of a new level of human development. But you know what? These bastards, the most sickening, sadistic control freaks in the universe, are the ones that are have hijacked this and aren't going to let us have access to it. This is the worst possible thing that could happen.
It's all playing out as many wise men and women predicted it 20, 30 years ago. It's happening right on schedule. It's truly amazing to watch.
We're up there at the guillotine, our heads in the block, but we have the power. We can just say no. Folks, we're at that point. We're at the crossroads. The next year or two is a second in the scheme of time.
Mm-hmm.
And we're down to the line. We're down to the very point of decision which way this is going to go. And I'm telling you, we can defeat this. Evil won't be gone, but either evil gets worse or gets better. We've got to push it back. We've got to fight it. And I'm telling you, I have no fear. I am committed to this because my very, again, human soul cries out against this wickedness.
I think Paul's analysis of the Americans and their hang-up on sports, their obsession with sports, their whole sports paradigm, whether you're looking at a high school game or a college game or a pro game, they look at sports the same way they look at war on the television now. They've got it all mishmashed into one solid object. It's all the same thing. Watching the combat footage is the same as watching a sporting event.
Well, that's what Fox does, is if you notice, they craftily mix the sports news in with the war news, and it's all base tribalism.
Yeah, well, they throw in a few blondes, too.
Yeah, smacking their lips.
That's right.
Folks, they're looking at a teleprompter. They're not looking at you. And it's sickening. Everybody needs to tell folks about the Jeff Wrench Show. Everybody needs to get Paul Watson's book. You know, I tell people, get my videos, make 100 copies. They're not copyrighted. These are the best films out there to expose the globe.
They are. And Alex is on the radio as well. Shortwave, you can hear him anywhere, actually.
Sure, Jeff, but I just hope folks tune into your show. It's just bottom line, we have got to do this now, and we've got to, we can't just let stories like Silverstein going, yeah, we blew up the building, yeah, we pulled the building on 9/11. I mean, we can't just let that just go out there and then disappear.
Wouldn't it be nice if PBS came back and did a proper documentary on the whole thing?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I want to know how compartmentalized these producers are, that they don't have a critical memory or thinking capacity to remember that they claim the building fell because of fire, and then they got the guy saying they pulled it. I mean, why isn't that a bigger issue?
Yeah.
Again, this is like having the 10-ton elephant in your living room.
Exactly.
And not saying it.
Exactly right. Paul, I'm worried about Britain, about British culture. There have been stories recently about the terrible strain that is being put on your society, and that in 10 or 20 years, much of British culture will have been erased by the flood of illegal immigrants over there.
Yeah, I mean, as I mentioned earlier, the fact that these immigrants coming in is due to the government, who then try and get us to be punished for it by introducing these national ID cards. I mean, the same system of decadence also via the TV is even ahead of America in this country. I mean, in January of last year, we had programs about eating babies as an art form, and it was displayed on Channel 4, which is one of the major stations.
That's
right.
Beyond wretched, hideous, ugly, depraved. There's no words to describe what's going on.
And Paul sent me that report, and I put a clip of it in my film Police State 3, Total Enslavement. I mean, they on the show say how wonderful it is, the new fad of eating babies in China, and couldn't we do this in England? I mean, it is. It's unspeakable.
Yeah, totally. And you folks, if you're not plugged into the so-called popular culture in America, you should be. You should listen to some of the lyrics on the songs. You should watch some of the films that are passing for entertainment now. Sit in a theater sometime and watch how the audience laughs at some of the most unfunny things in, I think, our history. It's just unbelievable.
That's it. Every time I go to a film and someone's being raped or killed, or something horrible's happening, or a baby.
It's like the Roman Colosseum, Alex.
People will giggle.
Yeah, it's like the Colosseum.
Ugh.
Yeah, I know. They're taught and they're conditioned what to laugh at, when to laugh, how hard to laugh, and it all started with the laugh tracks on television comedies in the 1960s. And they've been programming people ever since, and they've got it down to an art. You folks have got to turn the TV off. I mean, it's that simple. You got to stop eating meat, dairy, processed foods. You got to clean your body so your immune system can work and your mind can function. And you have to stop poisoning your soul and your consciousness with television and the popular culture. You've got to break away from that. It is hideously addictive and manipulative. And believe me, there are things embedded in there electronically that you see and you hear that you don't see and you hear that are telling you what to do, what to think, and how to act. It is.
By the way, when I went to UT, RTF, they had whole courses admitting the subliminals. I mean,
yeah,
this isn't even debatable.
No.
And you tell the average person, they go, there's no subliminal.
No, well, it's beyond subliminals. I think there are technologies now that go far beyond that. But that's another program, another time. It's just truly amazing. Paul, I want to thank you for being up all night over there, well, practically all night. It's been a real pleasure speaking with you and having you on the program. Anything you'd like to leave us with tonight, a final statement or so?
Yeah, just to basically watch the article which is posted on Rents, because we're looking for more developments over the next few days and weeks. So we expect to be updating the article with the latest information and basically bombshells on the fact that this is one of the biggest, if not the biggest, smoking gun, which proves inside involvement in 9/11. So keep watching the website for that.
Very good. Congratulations on your webmastering, too. You do a superb job.
But it's a pleasure. I started my own website 3 years ago, and it was getting like 40 hits, and now it's 20,000 a day. So anyone can have that kind of effect in a short period of time. So anyone can get involved.
Wonderful.
And that's PropagandaMatrix.com, which he also runs. And then PrisonPlanet.com is a year old. And how many hits we get a day, Paul?
Well, it's around about double the amount that I just mentioned. So it'd be like, 40,000 hits a day, and it's only a year old. So anyone can have a massive effect via the information war on the Internet.
And then InfoWars gets even more than that. And the point is, we're not bragging. The point is, this is what individuals can do. I mean, Jeff's site getting 10, 20 times that every day. People are hungry for this, and I would just encourage folks to visit InfoWars.com or PrisonPlanet.com to watch the free video clips. We've got whole films for free download. I mean, it kills us bandwidth-wise, but, buy some of the videos. Make copies of them. Put them on Access TV. Show them to your VFW hall. Get Paul's book. It's the best book I've seen on government-sponsored terror, my book. Support Jeff Lynch. Call the sponsors of the station you're listening to and say, thank you for what you're doing for this country and our children. It is that simple. If you don't wake up, folks, it is over.
Indeed. Thank you, Paul Watson. Thanks very much. And Alex Jones, I salute you, sir, and it's great to spend time with you. Keep it up.
Thank you, Jeff.
Okay. And thanks to all of you for being here tonight. We'll be back in 21 hours. Again, a lot to think about. Help those who want to help themselves, and don't waste your time on those who have no open mind at all. We'll talk to you tomorrow.